2 Corinthians. We're going to finish chapter 8, and we're going to do all of chapter 9. So brace for impact. Hold on tight. Away we go, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I have an announcement to make, but I wanted to be part of the recording. I want this to be on the radio, okay, and everything else. Something significant happened. Something bad significant happened Friday. The Supremes said that the Constitution says that anyone can marry anybody regardless of gender or anything else. And when we did that as a state, I was very close to opting out and saying, I'm all done marrying people because you've taken it to a place where I can't go. Now that the Supreme Court says gay marriage is okay, same-sex marriage is okay, I feel the same way about it that I've always felt, that it's the Bible teaches that it's wrong. I don't hate homosexuals. I know, listen, if you think homosexuality is a sin, the Bible says that, brace for impact. We're gonna catch some flack. Don't think any one of us are going to fly under the radar. It's not the way it's going to be. You're in the crosshairs. That's where I live, so I'm kind of used to it. But in response to this national, I can't marry anybody anymore. I can't act as an agent for the state, a state of a country which says that I can marry anybody. Now, this won't protect me, I'm sure, from persecution, won't protect you. I'm just not going to do it anymore. If I married you, you're one of the few, okay? You say, well, wait a second, Adam. What about chilling? We go here, we want you to marry our kids and stuff like this. And listen, if you still want a ceremony, we'll have a ceremony. You say, well, can I still wear a big white gown and invite all my friends? Sure. Except if you're a guy, because that would be wrong. Can I still kiss the bride? Yeah. Can I have the big fancy? Yeah, we'll do it, right? We'll pray. You can exchange vows, exchange rings. You say, well, okay, what's the difference? Well, at the end of it, I'm not going to pronounce anybody anything. You say, well, how's it legally going to happen? By people who legally do it, and it won't be me anymore. That's the difference. Okay, we'll still do the wedding, but you want to legally be married in the state of Maine, you're going to go to Justice of the Peace or somebody who doesn't have any problem with that. And I'm sure you'll find a pastor who'll do it, or Justice of the Peace or whatever. But we marry you, we'll have the ceremony. We'll pray, we'll ask God's blessing. It'll be a time like it's been in the past, but I'm not going to legally bind anyone together, because the way they've taken it to a place where I can't go by conscience. And if you're not good with that, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be unkind or anything else. I'm not, like I say, I'm not a hater. They changed. I didn't change. So, and I just wanted that to be part of, I want to go on record as saying that, okay? And this week or next week or the week after, some homosexual couple is going to come and say, we want you to marry us. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'll be a perfect gentleman. Trust me. I'll be very kind. I'll be very gracious. And I'll still say no very firmly. And watch the lawsuits are going to start happening, because now we're unconstitutional. I knew this was coming. We saw this for a long way out. And by the way, if you were like really discouraged Friday, like I was, I had a lot of like anger. I think righteous indignation is a good thing. I think that's a good thing. But the vitriol I was feeling, but then I had to like refocus and regroup. I talked to a good friend of mine. He just reminded me, God's still on the throne. Nothing changed. He's still the sovereign. You say, well, how is he a sovereign in a country that says anybody can marry anybody? We don't even know how does that work? God's still sovereign. Well, he lets us be sovereign. He lets us make decisions. But nothing still changed. We still worship him. We still love him. Did something change? Did you feel the shift in? Because I sure did. It's not going to be easy to be a Christian these days in America. Just so you know. But we always knew that. We always knew the day would come when persecution would happen. It's always happened to some degree or another. But now, I think it's going to be different. And I think that fuzzy gray, nominal Christian experience, I think that's going to go away in a hurry. Because people who are going to be with us are going to want to be with us. They're going to want to be recognized as I'm with Jesus regardless, come what may. Persecution, fines, imprisonment, We talked about this. Me and Sue talked about this. We knew what we were getting into when we signed on. Whatever, come what may. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to stop. And they can throw me in jail. They can kill me to death or worse than that. Don't threaten me with a good time. You're saying I'm going to go home and be with Jesus? Well, that's all you got. Whatever comes, it's fine. Bring it. Okay, 2 Corinthians, all that to say, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we were talking about giving last time. Now, you're visiting here and you think, oh, giving. Oh, my goodness, they're one of those churches. No, we're not one of those churches. We're one of those churches that go verse by verse, and this is what's next, you see. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I said it for a lengthy time last week. You're visiting, put your wallet away, put your pocketbook down. We're not after your money. We're not gigging you for no money. We're not going to sit and beg and plead, oh, if you don't give, the church is going under. Look, this started out in chapter 5 with we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We want to represent. When God spoke to my heart and says, you're going to be a pastor and stuff, I guess, oh, one of the things I was like very, like, like the things you work through with God, you know. I'm like, listen, I don't want to beg. I'm not going to be a beggar. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not going to beg. I'm going to, oh, please, you got to give. And I do all that crazy, okay, this is triple tithe Sunday. This is, you know, we're going to keep passing a hat until we get it right. We're going to count, make sure we eat. None of that weighs up. Oh, you know, oh, I like this one, I like this one. Next week, you give 90% and you keep the 10%. Just see how God feels. Let's see how you like it. You know, and none of that crazy, weird stuff, okay? And I was saying to the Lord, like, I don't want to be like that. And he says, I don't want you to be like that. And so we were totally in agreement on it. Like, I'm not going to misrepresent Jesus Christ by making it sound like he's a beggar. So like, so when people come, I always want to say, hey, relax. I'm glad you're here. We're not after anything. We're here to bless you. We're here to teach you the Bible. We're here to fellowship with you. You want to walk with us for a season or for your life? You're welcome to do that. We don't want anything from you. Now, people who get something cooking with God, they find a way to give, okay? And that's fine. Visiting, just, it's on us. We got it. Relax. Now, having said that, we're going to talk about these verses. Now, we're going to, like I say, get all the way through chapter 8 and chapter 9. We looked at it last week, and let me just kind of start, kind of get a running start at this. Verse 13, I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened. We don't want you, hey, we're not communists. We don't want you to be, you're wealthy, right? Well, you give a lot so everyone else can be wealthy and you can be poor. That's America. That ain't us. It's kind of socialist to me. The early church wasn't socialist. Communism or socialism, take your pick. It says, you know, what's yours is mine. We live in America, right? Capitalism, what's mine is mine. But we're Christians. What's mine is yours. Which is the same thing the communists said. So we just come at it from a different angle. I'll give it to you. You're not going to confiscate it. We got votes. We'll vote that out. You can't come in and take my stuff, but I can give it away. I can freely share. And Christianity is the only, from my understanding, it's the only, there's nothing else like that. We even got it so that it's a kind of infected our culture. Have you ever heard anyone say, pay it forward? Where'd they get that? That's a Christian idea. We're the giving nation. You know when you know they have a typhoon or a tidal wave or an earthquake, so who shows up? Americans with money, with boots on the ground here to help. That's us, Christianity, because we've permeated the culture to the point where everyone says, "Yeah, giving's a good thing. Helping out people in distress, that's a good thing." But they stole that off us prior to Jesus coming. Nobody did that. And he's not saying, listen, give, so that, you know, the lazy guy can be wealthy, and you're a hard-working guy, well, you don't deserve that anyway. You guys should give that away. What's your problem? No, he's not saying that. I don't mean that other men be eased and you burden, but by an equality that now at this time, this season, this time here, your abundance may be a supply for their want, their need, right? that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Kind of, this is the Bible's way of saying what goes around comes around. So you can help out now, but later on you might be the one who helps out. And by the way, hope that doesn't happen to you financially, but it might. I mean, I've lived long enough. I've seen like seasons of my life when I was the giver, and I've seen seasons of my life when I was the receiver. But if it isn't with giving, with financial, it'll be that way with everything else. It'll be that way with prayer. Be that way with like counsel or wisdom. It'd be that way with like fellowship. Sometimes I can pour into your life. Sometimes people have to pour into mine. Sometimes I can graciously forgive. Sometimes people will have to graciously forgive me. So it works with finance. It works all the way around. And it's a wonderful thing that way. And now he gives the example. He that hath, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over. He that had gathered a little had no lack. He's talking about the manna, right? You gathered it all up, but you couldn't have too much because next day it bred worms and stank. That's the hoarder, by the way. And that's the one who doesn't get his daily bread daily. Yesterday's bread isn't sufficient. Now, if you bought a loaf of bread yesterday, I'm not saying throw it out. I'm not talking about that. The manna, remember, you had to get it on a daily basis, and it's symbolic of the Word of God, the bread of life, so to speak, right? Yesterday, did you have a wonderful time with God? I hope you did. What about today? There's a dailiness to this. You don't live on yesterday's blessing. Have you been filled by the Spirit of God, 2014? Well, that was great, 2014. The 2014 filling, as you found out, is insufficient for 2015. Yesterday's filling is no good for today. There's a freshness, there's an everyday to this. But that's the way it is with everything from God, even finances. You try to hoard, you try to collect, you try to gather. It stinks. That's woefully inadequate. And the one who he didn't gather so much, you know. Think of like there's an old widow lady out there. She's gathering up her own. She got plenty, just enough, because God will bless it. He'll multiply it. He'll make sure she gets fed every day. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. And what does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you. Verse 17, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being much more forward on his own accord, he went unto you. Okay, we didn't have to. I asked him, but he was like, yay, yeah, send me. I'm ready. I'm way ready to go. He was more ready than I was ready to send him is kind of the idea. He was more forward on his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel through all the churches. What brother? We don't know. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, at the end of the day, when you're giving, there's a kind of an, what's it, when you, nobody knows who it is, what's that? You know, it's when like somebody gives you something, but you don't know who it came from. Anonymity. If I was awake, I'd know that word, okay? There's an anonymity to giving, right? You don't know what your right, you don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You remain anonymous. And this guy, I think he's there for that, just to make this point, that he's anonymous. We don't even know who he is. He's the brother. Now, they know him there in the church, and they know him in all the churches, but we don't know him. Isn't that interesting? He's the brother. Paul names everybody. He doesn't name this guy. And what about him? Oh, he's going with Titus, right? And we have sent with the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, okay? And not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us by this grace which is ministered by us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind. He was chosen of the churches. The word chosen means stretch forth your hand. It was a vote by raising your hand. Isn't that interesting? Because here's the Church of Jesus Christ in 2015 in America. We like to discourage the idea that this is a democracy. Because you know what happens in a democracy? The majority of the people select the wrong thing. They do. Recreational marijuana is the wrong choice. That more than 50% of the denizens of both Washington and Colorado said, yes, we want to be able to smoke dope recreationally. That's wrong. That's pharmakia in the Greek. The Bible speaks against that. Now, when we talk about medical marijuana, I got nothing intelligent to say about it. I'm not a doctor, okay? Is there a, I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. Is there recreational use for it? No. I don't care if 51%, I don't care if 151% vote, it's wrong. And we want to discourage that idea. This is a democracy, okay? Because here's the thing. We don't vote on the will of God, we do the will of God. Even when we have a board meeting, we like to discuss, okay, what do you think God's doing, what do you think? And we have to do procedural, because we live in a country that we have to do certain procedures, and we try to do things above board. Susan's on the board as a non-voting member, because she's got pretty handwriting, she's a recorder, and she knows Robert's Rules of Order, and we don't. And I don't care, and it's clutter, and I don't want it up there. So I say, what's next? Do we have to vote on this? Do we have to second this? What? And she kind of makes sure the meeting runs that I'm chairing, and she's really chairing, but I'm the figurehead chairing the board. But we don't want to ever vote on God's will. Is this what you feel? You got to check in your spare? What do you think? You know, I've been praying about this, and I feel like, and then we want to do that. Now, will we ever give you a voice in something? Yeah, sure. You want to send somebody to Corinth with money to Jerusalem Church, and you want to say, I want this one to go? Yeah, we're good with that. Now, I'm saying, and I'm not being facetious here. There's some things that, like, would affect you, and we want you to have a say in it. But the Church of Jesus Christ does not vote on a lot of things like deacons, elders, the gifts of the Spirit. Who's an evangelist? Well, we'll vote on it. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, then the popular guy gets to do everything, gets to be everything. When I first became an elder in the church, he said, and I was a young fella, I think I was like 32 or 3, a lot younger than I am now. I've been an elder for a long time. I've been an elder even when I wasn't an elder. I mean, even when I wasn't older, you know what I mean? So they asked me, I want to be an elder, I said, like, no. I mean, yeah, but no, because they're going to, you know, you're going to meet the qualifications, and I was trying to be like humble and trying to be like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm there. I don't know that. And I don't think people respect or see me as an elder. I really kind of, and then the church had a vote on it in a business meeting, and it had to be 100%. And so I'm thinking, I ain't going to get a vote. I'm certainly not going to get a majority. I ain't never going to get 100%. Well, I did. And I was thinking, like, well, that was cool. But the other part about it is kind of, who votes on that? Who votes on? I mean, as far as elders, we kind of see them. It's kind of deacons. And not, it's not a perfect system, okay? You're saying, oh, you should be a deacon or something. Maybe you should. I don't know. Look, we see if people are deaking, then we kind of, hey, that guy's a deacon. We ought to make him a deacon. We ought to lay hands on him and pray on him, put some anointing oil and stuff. That's kind of how we do it. We don't really... So they're voting on this, but I think that's kind of like one of those things that, yeah, I guess you get to vote. Yeah, sure. Well, we'll have some stuff and we'll say, you know, well, what about this, what about this? Well, how do you feel? Well, if it's involving you, yeah, sure. Raise your hand, say, well, I don't do this. Now, I don't like to do that a lot for this reason, because I've been in churches. We're like, hey, we're going to paint the wall. What color are you going to paint it? Well, we thought we'd paint it. I ain't gonna say the color because I already have a church split on my hand. Oh, I hate that. You're not gonna paint it that way. No, that's my worst guy. Oh, it's horrible. And then we'll have like the gray group, and we'll have the anti-gray group, and then we'll have the pro-blue group, and we'll split the church into 1,000 factions. Forget about it. You know what I mean? So, but there's some things that like affect us, and we really want to. Okay, I'm spending a lot of time on making a minor point, but he was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace gift, this money that we're sending to Jerusalem to alleviate the poor saints there we discussed last week, which is administered by us to the, glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us. What do you mean? I don't want anyone to say, oh yeah, Paul's taking a collection for Jerusalem. Yeah, I bet that ever gets to Jerusalem. Because people say it all the time. People say that about, you notice we don't take an offering around here? We don't. And we still catch some flack. Oh, yeah, I'm starting a church. Yeah, feather his own nest, no debt, line his own pockets. He's out there counting the money. One for God, one for Adam. One for God, two for Adam. One for God, three for Adam. I'm just getting like super wealthy being here, right? Hey, listen, I don't count the money. Because these verses are who we are. We've brought a lot out of these. And I don't count the money because avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is ministered by us. I don't touch the money. I haven't wrote out my first check yet. I don't have check writing power. I don't know who gives. I never see the offering. I have nothing to do with it whatsoever. We have a group of people count it, and it's double counts, and there's a checks and balances, and it's all done, and everything's above board. There's no scandal here. We want to do everything like really super squeaky clean. So when there's a scandal, I don't go to jail. Ron does, okay? Because he counts the money. So don't worry about Ron. You shouldn't get nerved up about Ron. Ron, sticky fingers Merrill, right? No. And then, of course, there's a group. That's why we do things open in a certain way. There's a group. So even if Ron, like, had a bad spell and had a lobotomy and thought, like, I need this money more than God does, there's other people to keep everyone else in check. It's a good system. And Paul's saying, yeah, we want it to be like that, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You say, I don't care about the sight of men. We do. Financially, we do. We want to be squeaky clean in the sight of God. We want to be squeaky clean in the sight of men. There's a lot of things I do in the sight of men. I live in a goldfish bowl. I care about what God thinks about me. I care about what God sees in my life. But I care about what you see in my life too. I want to represent well. Back to, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We want to do this well, this financial thing, Paul's saying. I want to do everything squeaky clean. I want to be a straight out. You can follow me around all day long, see what I see, go where I go, watch me, hear what I'm saying, and think like, Adam's a real deal at the end of it all. That's what I want. That's what you should want. Not only in finances, but in every way, providing for honest things. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft-times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, Titus's credential. What Titus? Why does he get to? Let me tell you about Titus. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren being inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So he's extending his credentials to everyone who's taking part in this. I know them. They're good. It's all good. Your money's going to get to where it's supposed to go. And you always worry about that. 9/11 happened. We all wrote our checks to the Red Cross, didn't we? We did. I mean, who didn't? I mean, you know, unless you were like just a kid. If you were like an adult, like, I mean, you saw what happened there. Your heart was like torn out of your chest. We ain't never been down a road like that before. Of course you made our check. How much went to the victims? Well, the families of the victims is a better way to say it, right? I don't know. Felt better writing out a check. But you always worry about that, don't you? Listen, there's a guy at the end of the off-ramp, right? Will work for food, right? You want to help out. I know you do. But you're wondering, okay, I don't want to buy this guy's next bottle. I don't want to buy this guy's drugs. I mean, if he's homeless and he needs a fair shake, oh, man, don't you want to help out? And how do you know? And you're given to this big conglomerate organization, and you're writing out a check, hard-earned money. You sweat over that, right? You're going to give a check, and you're thinking, well, if it helps the people, they say it's going to help, great. But if there's a 50% administrative cost, you're thinking, not so great. I want to take my money. I want to give it to this one who has, you know, the low overhead. And by the way, you know, Gospel for Asia, all the people who, like, work for Gospel for Asia, they're all missionaries. They're all funded to do, they're not paid by Gospel for Asia. They're all supported by local churches. They go around and do the, like, you know, the candidate, like when people go out in the mission field and they go to different churches and they get support. People for Gospel for Asia work at the corporate headquarters do that. So when we send 200, no, it's six missionaries and $200, because we buy two bikes a month plus we support six missionaries. Every dollar goes towards Gospel for Asia. Don't you feel good about that? More bang for your buck. I think that's wonderful. But I'm always concerned about that. And here he's saying, these guys have credentials. It'll get where it's going. Don't you worry about it. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches this proof of your love and of the boasting on your behalf. When they come here, don't let them sleep out in the street and stuff. Show them hospitality. Of course, he knows they'll do that. Chapter 9, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. I didn't even have to write this. Well, he doesn't for those in Corinth, but he does for our benefit. That's why it's here in the Bible, okay? He says, I don't have to explain this to you because you know what? I know your forwardness of your mind for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. What's he saying there? Did you get all of that? Hey, I know you're like I can say, hey, you got to take care of this. You got to take care of this. I know you're way ahead of me. Your forwardness of your mind, for which I brag about you. Those in Achaia, that's where Corinth is, right? It's the province, kind of, the area where Corinth is located, Achaia. When I was in Macedonia, hey, when I was in Turkey, I'm saying, them folks down in Corinth, man, they're givers. They're going to take care of business. You know, we got some poor people in Jerusalem. They've had some, you know, some famine there and a really tough go of it, but we're going to bless them. We're going to help them out. Them people in Corinth, they're going to take care of business in a large way. He said, I was in Turkey, Macedonia, right? And I was boasting of you guys there. And my boasting, your zealousness has provoked many. Your zeal has provoked very many. There's some ministries that are near and dear to our heart. And when I hear that other churches have outgiven us, I'm like, what? What do you mean? That will not stand. We will not have that. We're going to be number one in this area, in this giving, in this. That's what happens, because there's zealousness, and we just kind of woke up, smelled the coffee, and said, hey, we just dropped into second place. That can't happen. That's what he's saying here. Your zealousness have provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Look, back in chapter 8, verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. You are ready, verse 10. Here, and I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. You who have begun not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. A year ago, you were getting ready to do this. Now go ahead and do it. Perform it. Go ahead and get on with it. Because, and we talked about this last week, it's one thing to think a thing, it's another thing to do a thing. We, you know, sometimes when I'm teaching, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, and you're sitting and you're feeling like, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's right. I should do whatever it is, okay? Whatever that happens to be that Sunday. And some of us take comfort in the fact that we felt a certain thing, but we didn't actually do anything. Your New Year's resolution. This is the year. I'm going to be slim and fit, and I'm going to just go to the gym, and I'm going to be working out. How's that? Let me check. Oh, not so good, right? That's how we are. And we think that we think a thing, it's the same as doing. It's not the same as doing a thing. Because there are people say, yeah, we should help out them poor people in Jerusalem. But unless you write out the check or give the shekels, Jerusalem's none the better off. At some point, we have to do what we say we're going to do. We have to be the people that we know we are supposed to be in our heart. We have to perform it. We don't just have to think it. And we don't comfort ourselves in thinking good thoughts. I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. Hey, I'm telling them, boys, they're ready to give over there in Corinth. That, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Oh, man, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? That we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. We were shooting our mouth off saying how good you guys were in giving and stuff, and we're going to show up, and okay, we're ready to receive the offering. What? No offering? What? You know, 10 cents? What do you mean? What do you mean? You know what I mean? So that's what he's saying here. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. He says, we're going to do that before I get there, because I ain't going to do this dramatic play. We're not going to do this like, you know, okay, have the offering, and you get to saunter up to the front, throw your big old check into the offering, let everyone see. He says, no, we're going to take care of that all beforehand as a matter of course. For obvious reasons. One, it's not going to be covetousness involved. It's not going to be, and what do you cover? Coveting. To show, you know, look at me, look at me, look at the big check I'm writing out. Blow your trumpet, you know, the fanfare, have everyone see. Oh, you know, I feel the Spirit of God has told me, you know, we used to do a Southern accent when we do that. I don't know why. There's going to be six people going to give $1,000 here. You know, raise your hand. And so you're like, oh, man, I got, all right. So, you know, raise your hand. Because we got the thermometer in front, right? Like, I tell you before, the guy with the thermometers means the church is sick. And the guy is not building the kingdom of God. He's building his own kingdom, his own, that's how that goes, okay? God doesn't have a thermometer anywhere. He just doesn't. I'm just telling you. And so you do that ploy, you know, I know six people, the Spirit of God told me six people, and then you stand up and you're one of them, and we all go, yay, you know, and stuff, and covetous. That's what he's talking about. Hey, do that all beforehand. We don't even know who gives. We don't. By the way, I said this last week, I'll say it again. I don't know who gives. I don't know. I don't ask. Ron won't tell me if I did ask. Why? Because right at the beginning, I said this. I don't want to know that. It's not my purview. It's not my, because I don't want to like be picking people out and speaking to you specifically about, you got to. And then if like, I know somebody here gives a lot of money and I'm saying something that he or she doesn't like, and they're threatening to go away, there's a door. You know, I don't want to see anyone go away, but I'm going to teach the Bible, and I don't care how much you give. And if I don't know it, I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't fix the outcome so that I don't, I'm not going to sacrifice your sacred cow if you're going to get up with them deep pockets and walk out of the church. Oh, I feel really hot, you know, feel really bad about that. I don't know. I'm going to keep it not knowing. So when I say this, like, if you're sitting there squirming in your chair and we're talking about giving and stuff like that, that's on you. I'm not. I don't know that. I don't. I gotta be careful where I rest my eyes now. If you say, he knows. No, I don't know. I don't know. Now, listen, I'm here in the church and I see somebody go over the box and put something in it. I mean, I'm not blind. But I don't, like, keep score, and I don't see the check afterwards. You could be putting Kleenex in it for all I know. I don't know. Where am I? I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before and take care of that. But this I say, verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. This is a big principle here at Calvary Chapel. Listen, I don't want your money, and God don't need your money. That's the whole thing. You have to understand this. This is vitally important. Please listen. I used last week, I like tomatoes. So I grow 18 plants of tomatoes. I like tomatoes. You can grow one little patio tomato and you'll get some tomatoes. If you grow 100 plants, you can get some tomatoes, man. You'll be throwing them at cars to get rid of them. Anyone in your neighborhood leaves their door unlocked, they're going to get a bag of tomatoes. 100 plants, you know how many tomatoes that is? But you like tomatoes and you plant a plant. You'll get some tomatoes. You understand reaping and sowing and reaping? Listen, if you didn't sow, there's going to be nothing for you to pick later on. That's the whole thing. I got a memo from the desk of God. I don't need your money. Jesus doesn't. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So what are we talking about this for? You need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. I mean, listen. What's my puny tithe in God's economy, right? What is it? It's not hundreds of dollars. It's tens of dollars, right? You think God gets a check for like $20 and, now I can advance the kingdom. Oh, yippee. Really? No, I need to be faithful in giving. He doesn't need anything from me. He is nonplussed with my giving as far as like financially. Well, I'm really in a better state now. Adam gave. Woo-hoo. I'm in a better place because I gave. We got to understand that. This is like super, super important point. I'm sowing for the kingdom. I'm going to reap in this world and in the next. Look, let's just keep going, okay? I'll make this point again. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know that. Nobody's going to argue that point. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. People ask me all the time about tithing. Do you believe in tithing? I believe in this. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Is that 10% to you? You should give 10%. If the Spirit of God spoke to you and say, I want you to give 10%, then go ahead and do it. Go ahead. What's the problem? Well, God says, I want you to give 2%. Do you think I care really at the end of the day? I care about you being faithful to God. And I do care about that. But you say, well, I think I'm going to give $20 every week. You mean you and God cooked up something? You got a plan? The guy who asked me that, the guy doesn't want to give it all. Very often. They say, should I tithe on the net or on the gross? I don't know. I don't care. I don't have a verse, net, gross, withholding. I don't have a verse for that. I mean, I really, really don't. You want to get blessed on the net or the gross? I don't know. You know what I mean? Give sparingly, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. That's all I know. I heard like you heard early on. I heard the treasures of the Lord's storehouse, robbing God, Malachi. I heard that all, and so we started off 10%. That's where we started. And I kind of thought it was more of a floor than a ceiling. That's where I got in. You say you give 10%? I wish. I mean, no, I don't wish. I mean, I can't. When's the last time we gave just 10%? We don't even remember. That was so long. That's so back in the rearview mirror. We can't even see back that far anymore, right? Because if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. I think sometimes God gives me more money so he can see my faithfulness. I don't want to collect my God and hold on to him. That's paper with dead presidents. It's nothing to me. It's a means by which we can advance the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful tool. It's a good servant. It's a horrible master. If I don't give it away, I might be like everybody else, thinking, oh, this is really important to me. And I might start getting, I can have this car, but if I don't give to the Lord, I can drive this car. Who cares? Really? I had a lot of people say, oh, I can't afford to give. Well, that's between you and God. I don't care. Again, I'm not gigging anyone for money. I can't, listen, I'm just speaking my heart. I can't afford not to give. When I was working the woolen mill, I was taking home $80 a week, okay, family of four. You can do the math. And we gave $8. We did. I just figured, this is ridiculous. I might as well give it to God. He can do something with it. He'll bless it. He'll do something. And I got a job. And that was $4 an hour. They cut back to 3 days a week. And after taxes, I was taking home $80. I ain't lying to you. Susan will tell you. Then I got a job at a shoe shop, $5.25 an hour. Now I'm in money. Oh, it's just rolling in. And then we gave more. You know what I mean? Well, we gave the same 10%, but it was more. And we started paying some old debts. And even when we were in debt, we gave to God. We always felt like that was what God wanted us to do. And we were sowing and sowing. And at the end of the season, there's reaping. What does that look like? It looked like, in my case, an apprenticeship from the electrical apprenticeship. I tell you, we started off, it was 821. You remember? You were the year after that. I don't know what that was. What did you start off at? 850 what? See, you don't remember 851, 52. I remember exactly, man. It's $8.21 an hour. I remember that because I thought I died and went to money heaven. I was like, I don't care if I ever get another raise in my entire life. But I was giving and I was giving and I was sowing, I was sowing and I was reaping and I was reaping. And then, you know, pay one up and pay one up and pay one up and pay one. We don't pay journeyman electricians $8.21 an hour anymore. That was apprentice rate anyway. But they're like 30. Something, I don't know. I shouldn't even say, it's a lot of money. But my thinking is reaping, sowing, sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping. I'll tell you, a lot of this, these verses shape a lot of my thinking. They just do. Every man according to his purpose and thought. Well, I have purpose to give such and such amount. I want to be generous. I want to give to the hurts. And then, of course, you know, here's the thing. Like, we say, okay, we want to give 10% to church or something, you know. And then somebody else comes and they have a need. And they give us a little presentation. And we're sitting there crying. And, oh, our hearts are so moved and stuff. And we want to help out. Where does that come from? It comes from an above and more. It's like, and we've talked about, well, listen, we got to give to this one. How are we going to do that? Because we're like you. We got, you know, heating, and we got, you know, we got to pay the mortgage, and we got to buy food. And, oh, my, food is going to, I thought once the kids got away, it was like going to be like, and it is. We're a lot less food, but for a lot more money. It's crazy. You can't, you got to take out a bank loan to go to, like, Shaw's now. It's crazy. Even the sales of it. Anyway, don't let me start on that. But my whole thinking is like, you know, It's just giving and giving. Every man according to his purpose has to let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. There's a tight wad. One of you guys is just out there saying, I don't believe anything, I don't do anything. Oh, keep it. God loves a cheerful giver. Happy to do it. The word is from the Greek hilarion. It means hysterical. It actually means cheerful. Cheerful's good. Happy to give it, Lord. Thank you for blessing me. Do I look like I'm missing any meals? Look at God is blessing us. I'm happy to do it. Happy to do it. I don't know. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Boy, he is. Well, I'm on a fixed income. Well, God will fix it better. I said last week, I've just used this because I heard it, and 90% with God, you and God, is better than 100% with just you. It just is. I've heard testimony and testimony and testimony. I can tell you story after story after story. It just is. And you say, well, you're saying 10%, or 2%, or 1%, or 5 cents, whatever that number is. Because with the widow, it was two mites, and I don't even know what that percentage was. That was like, Jesus was very excited about it. Two mites. Now we're going to make hay in the kingdom of God. No, but you see what she had done? She had cast herself on the Lord. Hey, you got to take care of me. I'm giving like all. This hurts. And God's saying, don't you worry about it. I got you covered. And this is what this verse is saying. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having always having all sufficiency in all good things may abound in every good thing. As it is written. Now listen. This is from Psalm 112. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now if you go back to Psalm 112, you're going to read this. There's a giving that's bountiful and God blesses, and there's a hoarding that tends towards poverty. What do you mean? Well, I'm going to collect all my stuff, and I can't give it. I need all this, and the Lord can't have any of this. Well, how's that working for you? Poverty. Poverty. God's not blessing. God's not in it. You say, well, I got it because, okay, no argument. Go ahead. Maybe you'll figure it out. I'm telling you, God can bless. I'm telling you, God knows how to bless. And this is someone who loves you. Like I say, I don't want your money, don't need your money, don't even care. I don't even know if you're giving any money. I might be getting talking room for like, yeah, we're on it, Adam. We're giving like with a hilarious, cheerful way above and beyond. I don't know that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just teaching next verse, next verse. The guy who hoards the money because I can't afford it, he never has anything. And the Bible says that is going to happen. It prophesies it, and then prophesies it, and then it happens, and you're wondering, oh, how come I never have any money? Because you're hoarding it. You remember, you hoard the manna, what happens? It breeds worms and stinks. It's the same thing with money. I'm going to hoard it. I'm going to have it all. I'm going to nothing to share with anyone. It stinks, doesn't it? Man, look at my new water bill this month. It stinks. You can't make ends meet. It stinks. And I know. Everything's going up. I know. It's hard. And I understand you guys work hard, too. God understands it, too. And he says, what? You're giving to me first and foremost? It's not, you're not helping him in a sense like he can't do it without you. But he really loves your heart. He loves that giving. He loves a cheerful giver. It says it. God loveth a cheerful giver. Wow. I see that, Jack. Oh, I know you're discreet and you, nobody's in a room, you slide in a box. I see it. I know the amount. I even know what color ink it is. I love it. I love when you give like that. I love when you give just to me. Because I know you don't have a lot. Hey, I'll bless. You ain't going to be my debtor. I'll take care of you. Don't you worry about it. And these verses are telling us, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. What does that mean? Hey, I gave to the poor, and God says, I know, I saw it. Your righteousness is going to remain forever. This means I'm going to heaven when I die? No. Giving has nothing to do with eternity in the sense of, like, it won't gain you eternity. You give a lot of money, and you're going to go to heaven when you die. No, no. We go to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. End of statement. Ron was telling me of a guy who was he was at this one church, and they were talking about like how much this guy had given, stuff like this, and Ron was saying, like, you don't, but he didn't believe in Jesus. You given to the Lord's work, but you don't believe in the Lord? And the guy's like, no. And Ron, because you know Ron, Mr. Tact, he ain't got any. What I love that about him. No, I'm serious. So he's like, well, you're going to hell. And the lady's like, later the guy's wife comes right out of her shoes, like, you know how much money he's given, like. Like, that matters. Are you kidding me? But people think that. Like someone thinks, like, okay, he gave a lot of money, therefore he's got a place in the kingdom. Really? No, of course not. But having given, God says, I'm going to score that. I'm keeping track of, you can give cold water in my name. I know all about it. I'm keeping track of that. Your righteousness is going to remain forever. Long after the money spent, your righteousness remains forever. I like that program, okay? Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God can take that little bit, bless it, make it a lot. Have we learned nothing from the fish and the loaves? Listen, God can multiply. He's in a multiplication. So I wrote out a check this week for $10, and then I went home and I found a $10 bill on the sidewalk. No, but maybe, I mean, but no, I wouldn't suspect that. I'd suspect that I'd find like a $100 bill on the sidewalk because he's in a multiplication. Now, having said that, I'm not talking about health and wealth, seed of faith, all that weird stuff that goes on. That's just covetousness. If you give, God's going to give to you, and We don't give. It's not an investment program in a sense like it's better than the bank and better than we want to just be part of what God's doing. And God does bless and God does reward. So there's that truth they got, but they play that. What they're doing is they're playing on your greed and your avarice, and they're trying to, like, okay, if you give the Lord, you know, God's going to. It's still just avarice, still just greed. You're still going to, at the end of the day, your God's still going to be greenbacks, and we're not, listen, I'm promising you this, God knows how to bless. How's that? But I understand reaping and sowing too. I know what they're saying. It's just that's all they're saying. That's their whole counsel. Give to my ministry and God will bless your socks off. Well, let's keep moving. Being enriched in everything and to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving God. Now there's two things this gift of Jerusalem is going to help. It's going to help the people who need it. And they're going to be able to buy food and pay their bills, and it's going to be a wonderful blessing to them. And two, they're going to praise God. Didn't that happen to you when you were like really needy? And you were like, and then a like mysterious check showed up or whatever it was. And you praise God. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You heard my prayer. I praise you, Lord, and stuff. And you were so happy about that, weren't you? We were. I mean, whenever that's happened, it's happened several times in our lifetime. And we praise God. It met the need, and we were praising God all of a sudden. And that's what he's writing about here. He's enriched in everything to all bountifulness. It met the need. Praise God. Because that's the next thing, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by thanksgiving unto God. So you kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, while by the experiment of the ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection into the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Okay, we'll go fast here. They glorify God for your professed subjection into the gospel of Christ. Because once you get saved, you're a giver. Oh, maybe the last thing to get redeemed is your pocketbook, but that's how God works into your heart. Listen, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I love Jesus. You got my whole everything, including my checkbook. That's how it works. And by the way, death kind of like works like this. I love him, so I'm happy to be that cheerful giver, right? But also, I ran out of check for, among other things, Gospel for Asia. Is our heart strangely warmed every time we hear K.P. Yohannan speak? Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You get it? We have a skin in the game. We have a dog in the fight. We care about the outcome. So we get an email from First Choice Pregnancy Center. Who cares? We do. We care. Because where your treasure is, your treasure. You get that right. Your finances, your treasure. There, your heart is also. So one of the things when you're giving here, this is your church. It's like, hey, it's my church. I got a skin in the game. I got a stake in the outcome. I don't want to see the place close up and I want to see good things happen. I want to see the gospel advance. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know if we need to say it anyway. Jesus said it that way. Your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ. You say you love God, and obviously you do, because non-Christians don't generally give to Christian work. And for your liberal distribution, there are people who call themselves liberal, and they're not. You're liberal. You say, oh, you call me liberal. You're generous, liberal. And that's what we say into this church here. There's some people call themselves liberals, but they're not liberal. They're only liberal with your money. And I won't get political, but I hate that nomenclature. I hate that name. I hate that tag. You're not liberal. Oh, we're open-minded and everything. Yeah, until I disagree with you, and then just watch the fireworks. But he's saying, no, your liberal distribution, disbursement, you're writing out the check, so to speak, you're liberal unto them and unto all men. You're very generous. It's a good sign. It means Christ is alive in your life. Why? Because you're a giver. You're imitating your Father. What do you mean? Well, God so loved that he gave. It's a trademark of Christians. We give. You say, oh, if I don't tithe, then I'm not a Christian. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying as Christians, we give. We give of ourselves, we give of our time. So a guy asked me, you know, do you believe in tithe? And I took him this verse and I showed him, you know, as man purposeth in his heart, and, you know, go ahead on and do what you feel like God's telling you to do. Examine your heart and do. And he was like, well, I don't know if I like to tithe my income. I like to tithe my time. You ever hear that? Wait a second. God is your God 100% of the time, and 100% of the time you're God's servant. Now you're going to steal back 90 and call it a tithe? I mean, let's wrap my mind around that concoction. Where'd you come up with that? Where's that verse? But I was trying to be a gentleman, so I didn't say anything like that. But I did point out that God's God 100% of the time. And if you don't want to give anything, here, I'll tell you something. Don't. Bottom line, I'm not going to give a penny. You're welcome here. You good? We good now? We're not poor. God's good. He's. And I told them this early on. I said, Lord, you know, when the funds dry up, we ain't gonna have the baked bean supper. We ain't do it. We ain't gonna have the fundraisers. God bless. Use your people to bless, to do your work. And you have. You have. Again, I don't know about each individual. I'm going to go around and around. I don't know that. But as a collective body, we have. How much do we owe? Nothing. Nothing. How far are we behind? Not zero. Listen, Ron is crazy in a good way, okay? He gets a bill like somebody threw a porcupine on his lap. It's job one to get rid of this bill, okay? The check is like right now. It's in the mail today. We don't owe anybody anything ever. I'm just telling you. So you've kind of answered the call, and I appreciate it so much. You have no idea. We're not beholden to anybody. I told you, if we don't get any increase in giving, that's fine. If we do, let's say we got $100,000 a year, which is more or less, right? About right. Let's say we get $1 million a year. We're just going to give 10 times more. That's how we feel about it. You understand that, right? No, gold emporium here. We're going to, we get $1 million. We're going to build bus. We're going to build. There's going to be chandeliers and, no. So there's a lot of ministries in the area will be like really, really blessed. I'm telling you, that's how we've talked about this. That's how the leadership feels. Let's finish. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. The remarkable thing, them Jews in Jerusalem are going to love you Gentiles. They're going to be praying for you. They're going to be praising God for your subjection to the gospel of Christ. This is building a bridge between Jew and Gentile. At the end of the day, because where your treasures, there your heart is also, that knits people together, giving does. In a way, the recipient is like your super friend now forever. They're on their feet, and they're doing fine, and they always remember back in the day when you helped them out. And now you see how that works? He's saying they're going to be praying for you, and they're going to want to be seeing you, want to visit with you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift, the finances? No, the heart that writes out the check. Listen, I never gave to anybody anything. I was brought up in a Catholic church, and they weren't teaching tithe or nothing like that, right? And so my mom would give me like a dime a dime back in the day when a dime was something. No, really. And I could buy a Coke with it or something. I'm going way back. I'm way old, right? Coke for a dime, okay? I'm just telling you. But I put it in an offering, and it was something. It was something. I could have just put it in my pocket and bought a Coke later on. But you know what I mean? And it was just like, here's a little bit. Didn't change my life or anything else. So that wasn't the unspeakable gift, but the heart that is saying, oh, Lord, I just want to bless you. I just want to please you. I want to advance your kingdom. I want people who don't know Jesus to meet Jesus. I want to just change the world. And I got a tool here. It's not everything, but it's something. I can't do everything, but I can do something. That's an unspeakable gift. A changed heart, a changed life is an unspeakable gift. You with me on that? What made you a giver? Jesus Christ did. The Holy Spirit of God working. That's incredible. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Don't sneeze at that. Don't overlook that. God's working in our lives. He's making us more like himself. The giver. God's the love that he gave. And that's an unspeakable gift. That's the work of the Spirit of God in our life. Okay, we'll close with that. Let's stand, let's pray. Now, are we cool? Because I think I've said it. Don't want your money, don't need your money. You and God, if you want to, you and God get something cooking and you want to bless the Lord being a joyful giver, well, you still ain't going to pass the hat. Nothing's going to change. But, and I just want to, again, I'm just going to bottom line you. I'm not giving. You're welcome here, okay? I want to see people obeying Scripture. I want to see people being, okay, you got it. All right, I'm just going to pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this section on giving, and we thank and praise you that you've blessed us so abundantly, Lord. We live in a place where none of us really know hunger, and you've And I know, sometimes it's hard to make ends meet, and we understand that. But at the end of the day, Lord, we all have roofs over our head, and we all have food, and we thank and praise you for the abundant blessing toward us. And Lord, we, those of us who like, you know, give, Lord, we just want to say thanks for caring about us, for taking care of us. We want you to bless. You know, when we take an offering, if we took an offering, we'd pray over the offering and would say, Lord, bless us and multiply that. But because we don't take an offering, Lord, we have the opportunity to do that. But we still want you to bless. We still want you to multiply. We still want that our offering, our love toward you, go to good places and do good things and save many and your kingdom's advance. We still want that anyway. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless the givers here, Lord. Bless those who don't give. Bless whatever financial place we're in now, Lord. We know that you can help, that you can work in a way that we can't work by ourselves. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a loving Heavenly Father. At the end of the day, we don't have to beg and plead, and because you're good to us all the time. We thank and praise you for that. Bless this, your this teaching, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.